You may not want to go mountain climbing in Antarctica. They don't make socks warm enough. But people can now see the terrain and its elevations thanks to work by the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. NGA provided the imagery leading to release of the first reference elevation model of Antarctica. Joining me with details of the project, NGA data scientist Brian Bates. Mr. Bates, good to have you on.
Thank you for having me today.
So is it fair to say that until now, Antarctica was maybe not so well known, one of those places on Earth that's still a mystery in terms of elevation?
Yes, it absolutely is. Not so well known, not so well mapped. The type of mapping that was done for this project, elevation or three-dimensional mapping, is traditionally been done through the flying of special sensors on the bottom of aircraft. And Antarctica's hostile climate and remoteness made that impractical for folks to do any sort of large-scale, high-resolution mapping of the continent.
I mean, Antarctica is quite a ways across, isn't it?
It is. It is one of the smaller continents, but is a continuous piece of land. It certainly is a large area to try and tackle with the detail that we were looking for when we started this project. Yes.
So, without the availability of flying aircraft over, how did the 3D images get acquired?
The images are actually stereo images, image pairs, collected by commercial satellites that the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency has under contract for a variety of different purposes aligned to federal government missions. And those satellites are in a polar orbit, which means they do have the ability to image the polar regions of the Earth somewhere around the order of about 15 times a day during the polar summer, and then not at all during the polar winter.
And just a technical question, if they are in an orbit, do they pass over the same spot over and over? And if so, how do they get the extremities that are maybe over the horizon? Or are they high enough that they can just show pictures of the entire continent, even though they're in a fixed orbit?
So these satellites generally collect about what we call a 1 degree strip. So it's about 1 degree of the Earth from start to finish. So they would start a collection at 87 degrees north and end it at 88 degrees north. And they generally have the ability to do that in quick succession, even though they are traveling at a speed that takes them over the poles in just a matter of minutes.
Give us the genesis of how you got, I mean, polar satellites have been around for a long time. The United States itself flies them for weather purposes and data gathering. What was the genesis of getting these topographic pictures, these stereo pictures, to map Antarctica?
There was a lot of interest in the polar regions. And as you know, due to a lot of concerns about climate change, about the loss of ice, both on the sea and on the land, the concern about sea level rise affecting coastal regions, major cities around the world along the coast. There is a large scientific discipline, glaciologists and so forth, who have always been studying the polar regions. And with the availability of the satellite images through our commercial imagery program, we were able to provide this type of data to federally funded scientists and Arctic researchers. And it has revolutionized the efficiency, the scale, the exactness of the type of science that's being done in the polar regions. So it was just sort of a natural progression of events, especially as other technologies were developed with some of our academic partners to be able to work with the commercial imagery, particularly the stereoscopic pairs that we collected to produce this high-resolution three-dimensional map.
We're speaking with Brian Bates. He's a data scientist with the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. And give us a sense of how large these data sets were, and then let's talk about what happened to them to turn them into this picture.
So we we've been collecting the imagery now over the poles with these satellites and some of their successors for about 9 years now. So there is 9 years worth of data. We have found that we can collect the entire landmass of Antarctica at least twice a season. So you'll often see collection or elevation products in the map from multiple years and multiple times a year. And these images were collected and then sent and cataloged to our partner agency in this project, the National Science Foundation, to their Polar Geospatial Center at the University of Minnesota. From there, they are often distributed directly to the federally funded scientists that I mentioned previously. But for this project, another of our three major partners was the University of Illinois. The University of Illinois is home for the National Center for Supercomputing Applications. They have a very large supercomputer, the sort of thing that does astronomical sciences, all sorts of other type of scientific work. And these stereo pairs were loaded onto that computer and run with an algorithm that was developed out of Ohio State, our third major partner, and then NGA helped refine and do quality control and test runs with. And those three universities plus NGA came together using basically the latest in satellite commercial satellite technology, the latest in open software development, and a very powerful government-funded supercomputer.
And then what did we learn about Antarctica? What does the picture show us that we didn't know before?
Well, the map or the model has just been released. But what we do know and what we've been studying in smaller chunks and what the folks that we've been working with tell us is that the ice loss on the landmass of Antarctica has accelerated over the last 5 or 6 years to the point where it's moving anywhere between losing two to three times the amount of ice that had been seen over the previous 10 or 15 years. Depends on where on the continent you're looking. Western Antarctica is losing more than Eastern Antarctica. And then, of course, entire ice shelves, which is ice floating on the water just offshore, is cracking and disappearing at a faster rate as well.
So interesting knowledge. And is it pretty mountainous, by the way, in the middle out there?
Antarctica has a central mountainous ridge that terminates in the Antarctic Peninsula, which is where it is closest to South America. But most of Antarctica is still completely covered by a massive ice cap. So the geology underneath is not yet known or mapped. We're in most of Antarctica looking at an ice cap or ice shelf.
All right. Well, maybe someday we'll be able to see through that ice and with some special sensor and see what the mountain ranges look like.
Yes, maybe.
Brian Bates is a data scientist with the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Find a link to more about the Antarctica project and to this interview at federalnewsnetwork.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.